thewellnesscouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
You're listening to Wellness Women Radio with women's health experts, Dr. Ashley Bond, the pregnancy and birthing guru, and the queen of hormone imbalances, the period whisperer herself, Dr. Andrea Huddleston. They're raising the bar for women's health by bringing you the most up-to-date health and wellness information to live your best life. Now, onto the show.
This episode of Wellness Women Radio is very proudly brought to you by Dinner Twist. Dr. Ashley and I want to let you in on our little secret of how we maintain our healthy whole foods lifestyle with very little time. And one of those ways is actually with Dinner Twist. So they plan, they shop, they deliver everything to our door that takes all the guesswork out of having really healthy meals for dinner each night. They also have an online marketplace, which is like shopping at your local farmers markets or grocery stores, but it's delivered right to you. I particularly love Dinner Twist because they're a local family-owned business here in Perth in Western Australia. All of their produce is locally sourced and seasonal, and they're really invested in their suppliers. Everything is so fresh and they're committed to using such minimal packaging. So Ash and I opt for, you know, the naturally gluten and dairy-free meals, which are really consistent with, I guess, a healthy paleo type lifestyle, but they've also got, family-friendly meals. They've got bigger meals for families, they've got express meals for those really short on time and vegan options as well. So we would love to give you the opportunity to actually try Dinner Twist and realize how healthy and delicious, but also how fresh it is. So we're going to make that a little bit easier for you. And we have a special promo code, which is WWR for Wellness Women Radio, that gives you $35 off your first box. So this is also how I convince my husband, Dean, that I can actually cook. So if I can do it, seriously, anybody can. So trust me, but feel free to not take my word for it. Please try it and let us know what you think. So without further ado, ladies, now onto the show.
Hey there, wonderful listeners. Thanks so much for joining us today on Wellness Women Radio. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Andrea, and we have just been so fortunate to have such incredible guests joining us on Wellness Women Radio lately that it's actually given Ash and I a little bit of a break from just, you know, our kind of jam that we've been doing, but also all the heavy research that we've been putting into episodes. And fortunately, someone else has done all the hard work for us on this episode, but someone that we have absolutely adored having on Wellness Women Radio previously, and that is Dr. Josh Axe. So to all of our wonderful listeners, if you haven't tuned into the previous episode that we did with him, gosh, how long ago would that have been now, Ash? It would have been over 12 months ago when we were talking about ancient remedies and all sorts of other amazing things like that. So please go back and listen to that one, but then come right back to this one. And I would love to introduce you to Dr. Josh Axe, who is our guest today. He's a renowned doctor, leadership expert, entrepreneur, and the best-selling author of Eat Dirt, The Keto Diet, and Ancient Remedies. And he's also the founder of DrAxe.com, which we use as almost like a little bit of a health encyclopedia. We're so grateful for all the time and effort that you put into that website. If you haven't checked that out, ladies, please go and do that, because you can type in pretty much any symptom or health complaint that you might have. And the range of information that you're going to get there is incredible. But Dr. Axe has also just released his latest book, which is called Think This, Not That, 12 Mind Shifts to Break Through Limiting Beliefs and Become Who You Were Born to Be. That's a pretty huge title there. But Josh, welcome back to Wellness Women Radio. Thanks for being with us all the way from Puerto Rico.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
And we loved the last chat we had with you. It was just so organic and you were just such an incredible wealth of knowledge. So please tell us, what have you been up to since we spoke last?
Wow, that would be a long, I'll keep this as short as possible. Actually, I went through a bit of a health crisis, which is part of why I wrote the book from being bedridden for a year. I didn't walk for a full year. So I went in and I had injured my back weightlifting. And I had had this done once before after I'd hurt my back, and it helped tremendously. I got stem cell therapy, but so had a little bit of a nagging issue. Now I was still swimming, running, cycling, squatting, all the things, and went and I got the stem cell done again. And something went wrong this time. And I ended up after 3 months, one morning woke up, I just couldn't walk. The pain was just so excruciating. Had to have an ambulance come pick me up, bring me, get an MRI. And I was diagnosed with a spinal infection, had to have then a medical flight from Puerto Rico to Florida, where then I sat down with an infectious disease doc. And he said, Josh, listen, he said, best case scenario, you're going to have chronic pain the rest of your life. If you can heal from this, he said, worst case, he said, this could, this could kill you or leave you permanently disabled. And so this was about a year and a half ago. By the way, about 1 year ago, I had just got up and started walking again after not walking for a year. So this was most of 2022 and 2023. And that was really hard to hear, And so I had a couple of days of just feeling really, I guess a sense of hopelessness, certain things I hadn't really, I think, fully felt on my own before. And I decided, you know what, I need to believe and know I'm going to heal. I need to get my mind right. And so I really spent some time in prayer and seeking God and just saying, you know what, I'm going to get back to where I was, despite what this other doctor is saying. And I just started the process of healing. You know, one of the things I had to do, which I didn't, I hadn't taken a medication for literally for almost 20 years. And I got on IV antibiotics. Now, I only had to take them a third of the time. They were recommending I take them for 3 months. That's how serious this infection was. But I'd read a study on hyperbaric chambers and how those can reduce the time greatly. And so I got in a hyperbaric chamber every day for a hard chamber every day for 30 days. Plus, I started, and then I did it afterwards. And then I pretty much only eat meat and vegetables. Got another IVs, everything from methylene blue to silver, a number of things, high dose probiotics, and was able to beat the infection. But the disc doesn't get much blood supply, so it takes a long time. So, but I didn't walk for a full year. Well, I didn't walk for 10 months, and then I was on a walker for 2 months. So at this time last year, I was on a walker, and but I wrote this book during that time. And one of the things I realized as I was going through this is I'd been teaching people how to use food as medicine my entire career. But I realized that teaching people mindset medicine was just as important or more important. And so that became a really, really big focus of what I was doing. And so anyways, yeah, that was, the book was really birthed out of that trial in life. And it really teaches the principles that have been the most transformative for me, including my health, but also other things. Everything from great family life to just having a purpose I feel really called to in my life. And so anyways, but that's what's been going on. The biggest thing going on the past couple of years, probably right after, soon after our interview, I had that infection in my spine. And so what happened was the infection was in my disc and then it got into my bone, my vertebra. And then I had an abscess by the spinal cord. And so that's why that was such a serious issue. But now I'm back. I'd say I'm probably about 85% healed. I should be back to 100% by this year. I mean, I'm back lifting weights. I'm back doing all, doing interviews, doing all the sort of stuff that I love to do. But that was my past year.
That is unbelievable. We had no idea. So I think we're a bit dumbfounded, but at the same time, a huge credit to you to seek all the options, at your disposal there, where other people might have straight away been under the surgeon's knife. You sought other possibilities, which is, the power of what you're teaching as well. And on top of that, trying to be a dad, a father, a husband, all these things that you must be under the pump there to really sort of keep your businesses going. I can only imagine the pressure you are under.
Yeah. It was a different challenge I've ever experienced before. My mindset is always, though, very much God uses all things for good. And so I saw that with my mom when she had cancer and beat it naturally. It was, it really led me into this field. And so, pain can be turned into purpose. And so that's very much my mindset going through it. I learned a lot. I learned more about regenerative medicine and longevity in a year than I probably would have learned in 5 years. I mean, I spent hours a day, reading the medical journals, studying, writing, And so there was definitely a lot that I learned that I'm going to use to, you know, pass on to other people. And so there were a lot of benefits in that way.
Josh, I always really appreciate your such humble attitude. You know, for someone who's had such incredible success like what you have and has the knowledge that you do, you just come across as so gentle and so humble. And you are sort of talking about this absolutely horrific experience that, you know, not many people would sort of come out the other side of like you have in such a casual way. You know, like you haven't walked for 10 months, for example, or you told that you would possibly never walk again. And I can't help but thinking, you know, of other people who've been in similar situations like this, like Joe Dispenza comes to mind, for example, who've had, you know, really life-altering, you know, accidents or injuries or medical illnesses. And you have, by all sort of standards, you know, come out the other side and beaten all the odds. Josh, what was going through your head when they were saying things to you like, you know, you have this spinal abscess, and you would obviously know the implications of something as serious as that, or them telling you that you may not walk again, or that you'd be in chronic pain for the rest of your life? Like, what sort of things were going through your mind then?
Well, I think there's a few things. One, my faith is a big part of who I am, not just a big, it's everything for me. And so I'm very aware that I have a good Father in heaven. And so, you know, I just spent time in prayer, you know? And so I think for me, that's very, anchoring. And so that's the first thing, is I know God is for me, not against me. And so I'm very aware of that. And so with that alone, I think that really, you know, gives an incredible amount of strength, the greatest strength somebody could have. And I have a great family. You know, I have an amazing wife who is very prayerful and supportive. And so I think that's the, so that was, you know, I think the first thing in terms of what still gave me a sense of confidence and peace, even in the midst of that. I think the other thing that I realized is, even though I had 48 hours that were probably pretty difficult, where there were emotions I'd never actually experienced before. Like, I'd never experienced despair. I didn't know what that actually felt like. And then I did there. To a degree, there was a level of, even though I hoped in the Lord and I believed that I was going to be better, there's still, nothing's 100%. So there's still, you know, a degree of, wow. Here's the thing that I had to battle in my mind was, not that I wasn't going to heal to a degree and get back to walking. Like, I didn't really believe that wasn't going to be the case. It was a more of, will I get back to where I was or close to? Because, you know, that's sort of the limiting belief is, well, maybe I can get 70% better to where I'm walking, but will I ever be able to like lift weights again? Will I be able to throw my 2-year-old in the air again in the pool? You know, it's more of those sort of things. And so, you know, coming kind of face to face with those sort of truths or realities. And one of the things I realized was, you know what? I can't control things that are out of my control. I can't control the degree exactly to which I heal. I can control giving 100%. I can control being in the 1% of people that did everything on their part to heal and get better. I can make lemons and turn them into lemonade rather than just trying to, you know, sit there with a sour lemon or let it rot. So all that being said, I really focused on saying, okay, what can I do? And I also was really aware of the studies around the placebo and nocebo effect. You know, placebo effect during World War I, there were soldiers who were losing their limbs. And so the medication they were given was morphine. And the practicing physician ran out of morphine because so many soldiers were injured. And so he thought, well, I have to give these soldiers something. And so he literally just started giving them essentially sugar pills. And the crazy part was, and everybody knows this, but morphine is an incredibly strong medication. But when he gave them these sugar pills, 30 to 40% of them had the exact amount of pain relief as if they were taking morphine. I mean, if you pause and think about it, that's amazing. I mean, the fact that you could have excruciating pain of losing a limb, that sort of pain, and be given a sugar pill and your body can respond with the same relief as morphine. And so I knew the power of the mind in being able to heal. And I'd also know the power of the mind in keeping us from healing or even killing us. You know, there is a case study done, and this is a real case study, medical study, where there was a man who was diagnosed with liver cancer and he was told he had 3 months to live. Man died about 3.5 months later. They went and did the autopsy. The man didn't have liver cancer. He had a small benign tumor on his liver, could have been removed, could have lived another 30, 40 years. So that's called the nocebo effect, when you believe something negative that's going to happen to you. And so I've also done the research on neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is when your brain will start creating new neural pathways, literally new neurons, new neural pathways in order to repair areas, heal areas, get signals to areas. And so I knew if I believed I was going to heal, the chances of me healing goes up dramatically. There's part of an author was writing, one of the medical researchers, and he says, you know, you can also amplify the placebo effect. And here's how he said to do it. And so if anybody's listening to this, and if you're struggling with anything from infertility to hypothyroidism to autoimmune disease, whatever it is, part of you believing and knowing and practicing what I'm going to share with you right now is so important for your healing process. So what they said was in the study, the author of the study, this wasn't in the study, this is the author who did it. He said, you know, he said that if you, first thing you need to do is know, you have to be able to picture and visualize and know what you actually want. Okay. So for me, what I started picturing was throwing my 2-year-old daughter up in the air in the pool again. Okay. That was something I pictured, something physically I wanted to be able to do. And so I had to picture that along with picturing my vertebra and spine, those post x-rays and MRIs completely normal. Okay. So those are the sort of things I pictured. And I knew with certainty that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be cycling again. I wanted to be running again, those things. And then from there, he references that tying emotion to it and really experiencing what you think you're going to experience makes it even more real for your nervous system. And so for me, visualizing and sort of experiencing throwing my daughter in the air, but also even while I was in bed, thinking about the joy, the excitement, her laughing, how that make me felt, how that was making me feel, sort of experiencing that in that moment. That future moment in the present was something else I did. And then the last thing is this, and this is really important. We see a level of this with like a toxic positivity. If somebody just says, oh, I'm perfect, life is great, everything's wonderful. The thing is, your nervous system doesn't believe you when you just say it versus if you actually believe it, it's a very, very different thing. And so what I did was I created a plan so my body would believe it. And so I had read the study on hyperbaric chambers. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do a hyperbaric chamber. I'd read the studies on all the benefits of doing a diet that's based on highly anti-inflammatory. I pretty much ate meat and vegetables and some berries. And so there was that. And so taking certain supplements, high dose of mushrooms like reishi, turkey tail, and cordyceps, and getting acupuncture and all the things I got done. And so I had a plan in place. And so I proved to myself rationally in a way, okay, this is how I'll go from here to where I want to be 12 months from now and sort of pick and knowing that. So really it's being very certain about what I want, visualizing that, it's experiencing those emotions and then laying out a plan in order to get there. And I can say, again, as I mentioned, I'm probably 85% better. I'm carrying my daughter, I'm lifting weights, I'm back doing almost everything I was doing. And so I encourage people, if they want to heal, you have to do that for yourself. A lot of times it's like, hey, I want to heal. Like for instance, I have hypothyroid. Okay. Well, I'm going to take maybe a supplement or two and I'm going to get my diet a little bit better. And that's kind of where people tend to stop. And that's better than most, because a lot just say, well, I'm going to do Synthroid. Okay. But you really want to go as deep as possible and create a specific plan for yourself if you are going to heal. And I really encourage people, really incorporate the power of nutrition and exercise and all those things we talk about, but also that power of the mind is very important for healing. And this is something we've lost in Western medicine for the most part. Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, of course, biblical medicine. These were all emphasized very heavily in every ancient form of healing. But today, most people don't really think about it or utilize those tools as much as, you know, as much as maybe people have emphasized in the past.
And Josh, what mistake do you, or, sort of roadblocks do you see that people normally come up with when they have some sort of chronic illness And maybe they are, you know, taking the medication, or maybe they're trying to follow the plan that their like normal GP might have given them. They're taking pharmaceuticals and all of those sorts of things. So what mistakes are they making there that's inhibiting their healing?
Yeah. Yeah, there are quite a few, but let me hit on just the majors, the biggest ones that I see. So the first one is not having a plan. I really think that's an issue. I think that, you know, kind of, yeah, and this is true with anything in life. Like, let's say, for instance, I was trying to grow my business and I opened a business and I just didn't have a plan at all. I was just going to kind of do whatever I felt like. Or I heard some good things here and there. I implemented some. I mean, you might have a semi-successful business, but it will never grow and scale. You know, when you look at the people that are most successful in business, whether it be an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos or a Sarah Blakely or whoever, I mean, they are very detailed in their planning, very detailed in their goals, very detailed in their plans. They're adjusting those plans along the way. So they don't believe, oh, well, just bad luck or bad genetics or bad something. It's, oh, well, that didn't work. Well, let me try something else to see if that works. Oh, well, let me see if this works. And so I think that's number one, is you need to have a plan in place, very detailed. And if part of it doesn't work, well, then shift and adjust the plan along the way. You know, it's like you're on a journey and you're going to have trials, you're going to have roadblocks, you're going to have these things pop up. But just knowing that doesn't mean that you can't scale the mountain or go around the mountain or even dig underneath the mountain. I mean, there are a lot of ways to get to where you want to go. And so having a plan in place, I really think that's the biggest thing people are missing today. Here's the second thing. Following or listening to the right voices that to help you lay out the plan. You know, COVID's an example of this, okay? Or there could be a lot of things, okay? So, but if you're listening to somebody like a lot of these people that lead the, you know, whether it's the CDC or the WHO or the, you know, American Medical Association, whatever it is, these are people that have never studied health before. Now that might seem like, oh, that's just, you know, Josh is saying something that's sort of exaggerating. No, like they've never studied health before. Medical doctors have zero classes in nutrition, zero. They have zero classes in lifestyle, on stress and sleep. They have zero classes on exercise. Government officials have never taken a single course, read a single study, have done any of it ever. So they've never studied health. They've studied how to eradicate a single disease sometimes. But even with new diseases, here's the reality. Even when they eradicate that disease, they've never studied the trade-offs of, well, hey, you know, we've all heard the cure is worse than the disease. That's something Elon Musk said over and over about the way we treated this last pandemic is, well, the cure was worse than actually the disease itself in terms of what it was causing with alcoholism, drug abuse, people not getting vitamin D because they weren't outdoor. I mean, a number of things. And so my point there is that who are you listening to? And you want to listen to somebody who has gotten the exact results that you want to get, or at least has really shown that they've helped a lot of other people get those results. And so those are the biggest things. I mean, I could go on and on about other things, but if you want to see results, following the right voice, the right person who can help you lay out a plan, and then following that plan as closely as possible, and then listening to your own body and making those slight adjustments along the way, that alone is really important. And most people only do that if they also believe that they're going to heal. It starts with belief, because if not, you won't even take that step in the first place. I think there's also a level of this. Here's the third component, third or fourth, based on, I guess, what I've shared. Having a sense of purpose. Because if you don't have a purpose, there was a study that came out, I think there's a Gallup study that said when asked in interviews, 25% of people said, I know what my purpose is. And we also know how that affects somebody's life. Now, in Chinese medicine, purpose was tied to something called qi, okay? And so we tend to think that our health, again, is very materialistic in a way and physical only, but here's another study. A study came out that showed when somebody retires from work, if they don't pick up another mission or something to do after retirement, they die early. It takes years off their life. And so if you don't have a purpose or a sense of, here is my life is meaningful and what I do matters, if you don't believe that and have a clear sense of that, it takes years off your life and actually affects your health in a really negative way. So the other thing, you know, when I was in bed, and by the way, just again, what happened was when I went and got this injection, somehow the needle had a bacteria on it. They didn't know. I mean, it shouldn't have happened because everything was disinfected. It was like a one in a half a million dollar, it was about a one in a million shot that could happen. And so anyways, that's sort of to kind of complete kind of how that ended up happening. But that's, yeah. So that's part of what happened. But going back to this, I had a friend stop over. And the only thing I could do is I started with being able to crawl. So I could crawl out, get into a pool some. But he asked me, he said, hey, what have you been doing? And I said, well, I started taking some courses at Johns Hopkins University because I just want to continue to learn. I'm writing this book. I'm, you know, running this business. I'm doing quite a few things. And he goes, gosh, if I were you, I would just be eating Cheetos and drinking Mountain Dew all day. And I said, you know what? I actually feel like doing that for sure a lot of days. But I said, you know what? I am filled with just a great sense of purpose. I know that even if I couldn't walk again, God has a plan for my life. He has a calling for my life. And I know I'm called to have an impact on people in a positive way, make earth a heavenly place. And so because of that, that is driving me forward to do these things. And I think that for people with health, we don't necessarily usually think about that, but I do think that's a really crucial part. Again, according to Chinese medicine, it is one of the essential elements of health. In fact, purpose is tied to something called, again, qi I mentioned, which in Western medicine, we'd call that cellular energy, ATP production, and the healthier mitochondria. And then your adrenal glands is a chief organ is most responsible for those things. There are other elements, though, that are really important. Our identity, who we believe we are. That's really tied to the earth element in Chinese medicine. And that's really connected to the health of our pancreas and our digestive system. So our whole digestive system, that's really correlated there. Our body and our stem cells. So there are a lot of key components of purpose and our sense of identity of who we are that impact our health in a greater measure than most people realize. And this is why another thing I'm really conscious of and concerned about today is when you look at the medical conditions that have grown the most over the past 7 years, it's not cancer, it's not heart disease, it's not diabetes, it's mental health issues, depression, anxiety, loneliness, people who don't know what their, identity confusion. Those are the conditions medically that have grown by far, far the fastest and the most over the past, 7 to 10 years. So my point there is so much of that goes back to knowing who we are. There's a great quote by the psychologist Carl Jung, and he says, when the world asks you who you are, if you don't know, the world will tell you. And so a lot of people today have a lot, like I see this with women. Sorry that you didn't ask me to get off on this track, but I will. Today, a lot of women, and I see this because I have a lot of amazing female executives in my company who are doing amazing. And I've got an awesome wife who is a doctor herself. And my mother-in-law is a super successful entrepreneur. So I see this a lot. And my mom was, I'm thinking about my own mom growing up. But there are really three types of identity somebody can build: a modern identity, a traditional identity, or a divine identity. And the modern identity today that we have, and this is really was created out of Rousseau and the Enlightenment, when it said, follow your feelings, that will lead you to truth. And now today it's relativism, which means find your own truth, which means there are endless truths. Like an orange could be a banana, or a banana could be an apple or whatever, which is a complete lie. But part of this lie for women is women today feel like they have to be everything. And it's absolutely crushing. And so part of the identity is, and tell me if I'm wrong, but a lot of women feel like, I'm not saying every woman, but a lot. I've got to be a badass business boss. Okay. I've also got to be a perfect mom. I also have to be a perfect wife. I also have to show up at whatever for school. I also have to, be part of the inner circle on social media and show my life is perfect on the outside and I'm fun. But my whole point, and I had a mom growing up, my mom was an amazing mom, but she was also a wife and she also worked and she also had cancer. I mean, there is a lot on her plate. And here's something I know, like my wife, we have two daughters. That's a full-time job. There's a study came out that said, if you would pay a full-time mom today a salary, they'd get paid $200,000 a year.
Yeah, and they deserve it.
Just for being a mom.
Oh, yeah, we're worth that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're executive assistants and personal assistants and all sorts of layers to our careers in the household. But you're absolutely right, Josh. And I think a huge takeaway that we all get from, you know, that just that last bit you were talking about there is this idea as well that, you know, it's almost that what you believe you become as well. So, you know, you choose to transform your life with a belief structure that empowers and promotes positivity, but also a realistic approach to, you know, health, healing and resolution of a crisis event in your life. And that's a big difference to a lot of us who, you know, if there is a diagnosis given, we now believe the diagnosis. We now become that diagnosis. That diagnosis defines us. It's the label we carry. It's the badge we wear. And it suddenly becomes, I'm a cancer survivor, or I live with Hashimoto's, or, you know, I'm an endo queen. Like it's almost we want to keep that title. But as I try and remind my clients, this is not you. This is just a diagnosis. Yes. And you can transcend all of that if you choose to, which is, you know, it's a challenge to do that, isn't that? And I think, what are some of the biggest roadblocks people have? Because we've talked, you know, just gently there on limiting beliefs. And this idea of a limiting belief is you believe whatever it is that you believe. And I always sort of think of that great saying of mothers, fathers, preachers, teachers. That's where you get that belief structure from. You know, at some point you acquired that structure. How do you shift that? Because it sounds like your book really is about, like, think this, not that, like how we shift from something that we identify with and don't even know that it's holding us into this space of, you know, defeat or whatever situations occur in our life, or even just repeated patterns. You know, I think we all know people who go from maybe one poor relationship to the next, or one health crisis to the next, and it's suddenly like it's this self-fulfilling, this
fulfilling prophecy,
repeating thing that happens. Yeah. And from the outside in, it's frustrating because you want to bang that person's head against the wall, but they can't see it because they don't understand that that is actually inherently a belief structure. Is your book something that can help people break that?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me point out something that's, I think, important and fascinating. When you look at Chinese medicine and Ayurveda and every form of ancient medicine, Greek medicine started doing this, but for the most part, they don't diagnose you with a condition. Chinese medicine has never done that. They diagnose you with a pattern. They would say, okay, hey, listen, your pattern's off. And they didn't diagnose with a condition because they didn't want you to develop an identity related to saying you're this thing, you're cancer, like you're associated with cancer, you're associated with fibromyalgia or Lyme disease or whatever it might be. So they would say something like, okay, your body is too, you have too much heat internally and there's not enough movement. So let's just fix that. How do we get more movement? Well, you start walking more, and I need you to start consuming some of these warming foods like ginger that are going to start kind of increasing your circulation and getting things moving, and then warming gingers that as well. Let's get some cinnamon and eat more soups. You know, it's like that's how they would treat things, versus today somebody gets a condition like, you have fibromyalgia. We have no idea why. I mean, you sort of paralyze a patient. They don't know, you know, I have this thing and maybe I was born with it and there's nothing I can do but take this chemical drug. That's it. So that's the reality of what happens with most people today. And some of the most common limiting beliefs in the health space are, I saw this endlessly when I had my functional medicine practice. Somebody would come in, they'd visited a doctor, and I'd say, what did your doctor tell you? Oh, they told me I have this condition and it's irreversible. Or they told me I have to be on this medication the rest of my life and there's no other options. Or they told me I was born like this with this medical condition. And that's, I mean, these are a lot of these things you're just saying. I mean, these identity issues, and these are limiting beliefs. I'd love to share, you know, the first time I had a major limiting belief was when I was in high school. I'm remembering back when I was a freshman in high school, I was not a very good student. And I had a teacher ask me to stay after classes as an English class. And her name was Miss Noble. And she said, Josh, what do you want to do after high school? And I said, I want to be a doctor. And the reason I said that was my mom had battled breast cancer the year before. I saw her lose her hair, everything. And I thought, I want to help people like my mom. And so I told the teacher that, and she laughed out loud. And she said, Josh, listen, with your GPA, you'll never get into med school. She said, my own daughter had a 3.8 GPA. She said, she barely got in. She said, listen, she said, you'll be lucky to graduate high school. She said, you got an F on this paper. You're going to D minus in my class. She said, you need to try harder. And so then I thought, well, okay, well, maybe I can't be a doctor. And then 2 weeks later, my mom brought me to a physician who diagnosed me with ADHD, talked about me like I wasn't in the room. And he said, your son has a learning disability. He's always going to have trouble in high school, have trouble learning, and prescribe Ritalin. And so again, I was like 14 years old. And so not knowing a lot as a 14-year-old boy, I thought, gosh, I have a learning disability. Well, I definitely can't be a doctor now, and I'm not very smart. So that really instilled in me this big limiting belief about myself. And then I barely got through high school. The only reason I graduated is I knew my dad would be irate if I did not graduate high school. And so I ended up graduating barely. And I applied to a bunch of colleges because I did want to go to college. And I didn't get into any of them except for one sent me a letter. And it was University of Kentucky. And they sent a letter that said this. It said, pretty much, you're not in, but if you come and take summer school, an average above a 3.0 will let you in. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do this. I went to summer school. First class I had to take was English 101. And first big assignment was a paper. And so I said, I'm going to try. So I went, did the assignment, turned in the paper. A few days later, the teacher, her name was Miss Williams, she said, Josh, can you stay after class? And my stomach sank. I was like, oh no, not this again, deja vu. And she said, what's your major? And I said, well, I haven't chosen a major. She said, well, I really think you should consider being an English or a journalism major. She said, because I think you're a really great writer. She said, you got the highest grade in the class on this paper. And I think you're really gifted at this. Great job. And I walked out of there with a total, it was like a total new identity. Like I went from, it was a mindset transplant. It was like I had a diseased organ and it was replaced with something new. And after that, throughout the year, I started building confidence and thinking, you know what? I can be a doctor. Changed my major to pre-med, eventually graduated above a 3.0. And then later I went to Johns Hopkins University with an average with a 3.9 GPA. You know, started a supplement company called Ancient Nutrition, wrote these books. I don't say any of that to boast. I just say it to say, if I would have held on to the one single limiting belief of one person telling me that I wasn't smart or making me feel that way, we wouldn't be having this conversation. None of that would have happened. And there's so many people today who have a limiting belief about themselves. It could be about their health. It could be about them feeling beautiful or smart or something else. And so they're not even trying. They're not doing anything. And by the way, sometimes a limiting belief is about yourself. Sometimes it's about other people. Sometimes it's about the world. Sometimes it's about God and who he is. And so all that being said, I really think it's crucially important that people identify what are the biggest limiting beliefs in our life? And then being able to go and exchange those and create new empowering beliefs, because I think it's the most powerful thing somebody can do to be successful in life. And again, whether we're talking about health or your career or great relationships, it really is a huge thing. So in my book, Think This, Not That, that's a big part of what I get into is how do you totally reframe your perception? How do you create these new empowering beliefs to experience a breakthrough? But it's big again for health, as we were talking about identity wise, it's a really big thing. Cause I remember when I had my clinic and even today I still take care of some patients and there are certain conditions. I see this even more than others. And I actually see it in women more than men, probably. I'm not saying it's absolute, like I'm not, but generally when I think about it, I see a lot of Lyme disease patients feel this way. A lot with autoimmune disease. I think any condition where somebody, where we don't feel like we know the cause or the medical system feels like we don't know, I think it's more common for somebody to adapt. But here's what happens subconsciously, and people don't realize this. Let's say you've got a condition like Lyme disease. And of course, like, by the way, I would never diminish the feelings the person's having because it can feel crippling and be crippling. But one thing that does happen is somebody can start to get attention for their condition. And so they start to, in a way, even if it's not conscious, subconsciously say, this is who I am, and it's getting me attention. Everybody wants recognition. Everybody wants to feel seen. And so I think there is an element of that happening as well sometimes with some of these conditions. And I think it's keeping somebody from healing.
I think it's absolutely fair to make that observation, Josh, because I think we see that as well in our practices, that for a lot of women who've been carers for a large part of their life, these conditions manifest at a time in life when they are desperately in need of care. These conditions or autoimmune issues seem to become part of their life once they've got nothing left to give to others. They've done it for so long, and it's almost like that cellular need to be protected and looked after, and someone has to give back to them. So I definitely know that we can help shift some of those limiting beliefs in restoring that sense of self-love and self-care, which of course turns into self-healing too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, first, it's so insightful what you just shared, because I mean, like for instance, my mom, breast cancer, that's what breast cancer is in Chinese medicine. It's one of two things. Breast is really tied to sexual arousal or nourishing an infant. And so if you don't feel like you are beautiful and in touch with your feminine side, that leads to breast cancer on one side. If you nourish and give and give and give of yourself without being filled back up with love and care and protection, that causes the other form of breast cancer in Chinese medicine. And so, by far the most common though is the you nourish others to the point where you have nothing left, is the most common cause in according to TCM. And so that's really also connected with even hypothyroid and infertility. There's a level of that as well. If somebody is not able to carry a child, it's less conception, it's more carrying. That's tied with that, not feeling provided for and protected and safe and secure. And then hypothyroid too, that's tied to the adrenal / the pancreas. It's again, you're giving so much. So even your own internal body temperature is dropping. I mean, you've given to the point to where your body's battery is low essentially.
And I love this conversation too, Josh, because it's also that idea that we have to, tread carefully when we talk about these things, in the sense that you never gaslight someone to say that they caused their condition. You know, it's not about that. It's simply acknowledging, can we find that deeper part of ourselves to understand a little bit more of the why, you know, that we're not just some random series of events occurring, that if we can take some ownership over some of the things that may have got us to this point, for the same reason we have that power to change that. And I always find it, if we can shift from that idea of victim to empowered, it's such a extraordinary place for healing to occur.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive to the fact of, like, you know, when we look at genetics, people can be predisposed to things. But there is a lot within our control. You know, that's... That's for sure, you know, and I think that, there's a tremendous amount within our control, and part of the issue today, people are just so busy. They're so busy, you know, and I think that the biggest issue people have with healing today actually is not nutrition, even though it's important. The biggest reason why I see most conditions today, again, hypothyroid is an example, but there's many others, is that they're just too busy. There's not enough space and time to rebuild your battery. In Chinese medicine, it's really known as an adrenal qi deficiency, an adrenal energy deficiency. Your adrenals are just worn out. And then lack of, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. So that's why, like, the herb ashwagandha is the number one herb used in, well, Ayurveda mostly, but very similar herbs in TCM for hypothyroid is that those are qi builders. They build up that qi, and they reduce stress, which sort of flatlines a little bit of the cortisol and everything being released from just being too busy. But Anyways, yeah.
And Josh, I just want to, just purely for selfish reasons, just because I find that in practice, this is one of the most difficult timeframes or transitions for women, where they show up with all sorts of weird and wonderful symptoms that they've never had before. And that is that perimenopausal sort of window. Mm. And they seem to suffer then more so than what they would even once they get to sort of menopause or postmenopause, where their body doesn't feel like their own. These are all very classic sort of like Western kind of busy women sort of symptoms where they're putting on weight, they're having mood changes, memory loss, you know, all of those sorts of things. What would you say with all of your experience and with your mindset belief systems as well, Josh, what advice would you give to that age group of women?
Yeah, you know, I think here's the thing that I think is actually the biggest culprit of this. Our perception and mindset about how to live a meaningful life. Because when I think about that transition and that time in life, for many women and historically, there are kids that are maybe just, you know, that need the mom less at that stage finally. Okay. So maybe there's a little bit less of that happening. And, maybe it's a time in life where they were so busy with kids that maybe they don't have really close relationships. And we have a lot less family around us today than we used to. So when I think about the biggest stressor, I think whenever you're going through a change in life, being around other women who you can identify with and be closely connected with. So I think one aspect that really helps is community, having some close friends. I think the other thing is, and listen, men go through this in a different way, very different. But I think society today praises the heroes more than anything. We praise fame, we praise popularity, especially Gen Z and millennials. I think if somebody is aware of the value that they bring, that also is going to help. That helps tremendously with hormone balance. So let me give you an example. If you're a 48-year-old woman and you believe that you're at a place in life where being a mom and mentoring other women is the most earth-changing, world-changing thing ever, that's going to help you go through this in a different way. So everybody track with me on this. Because I've gone through a point in my career where it's like, okay, at first it's like being more of the hero. I'm out there and I'm teaching and, you know, the masses, a large population of people. But I don't think that's the greatest thing that I do. Like the thing that I think is the most meaningful thing I do is if I am training another group of physicians, or I have a men's group where I do discipleship and help them grow spiritually, help them grow in their marriages, those sort of things. And raising up my kids, like it's that job of a mentor or a parent. To me, I think that's the most important thing in the world. Same thing today. Like I was touching back on what I said earlier. A lot of times people say, I think being a mom or dad is more important than our professional careers in most cases. Not to say our careers aren't important. I think they're incredibly important. But if I think about what's the most meaningful thing a person could possibly do, I think it's being just a rock star parent or a mentor of some sort. Now you can have this role as a boss and be a parental like figure for your team and helping disciple them and apprentice them and helping them grow in all the areas of their life. But going back to this, I do think there are things that maybe women at certain stages don't feel maybe like they're as valued in their life as having as big of an impact at certain stages. Let me hit on the other things too, but I just did want to bring this up. I do think having a close sense of other women and a community that you feel really close to that can encourage one another, I think that's incredibly important. I think having the mindset of knowing my life has great meaning, like what I do really matters. I think that's really important for our mental and physical health. And then beyond that, in Chinese medicine, what starts to happen is estrogen especially, but also progesterone, these hormones, they start to drop, okay? So both the yin and the yang start to drop in according to Chinese medicine. But the yin by far more, Okay. And when you think about yin and yang, yang is more testosterone and maybe a little bit more progesterone. Yin is more estrogen. And when you're pregnant, that's when estrogen really goes up. In fact, that's why birth control works, is that your body thinks it's pregnant because all the excess estrogen. So, all that being said, you really want to get estrogen higher. That's the big thing you want to focus on. And so if you go and look at Asia, well, what do they do for that? Well, they have you start consuming a lot of soy, which is good for women at that age. I know most of the time everybody's like, don't eat soy, never eat soy, you know, soy. But when you're going through menopause, you do want to increase estrogen the natural way. Not natto or miso is fantastic, or just soybeans that are organic, natural. That's great. Flax is very yin as well. A lot of fruit, that's very yin. Fish. And you could just go online and search yin foods, but it's a lot of vegetables, it's fruits. Yogurt is very, very yin. Eggs are very, very yin. And so you want food, bananas, foods that really bring moisture to the body. So one of the symptoms that women will get when they're going through menopause is dryness and hot flashes. Why is that? Well, yin is the system and the elements of the body that bring cool and moisturize your system. So that's essentially in Chinese medicine. They wouldn't say, well, you know, they wouldn't say of menopause, that you're going through the period of time where there's a transition where your body loses its ability, its fire hydrant, its ability to cool and moisten. So in order to make up for that, you need to consume foods that cool and moisten the body. Again, think about yogurt. It's cooling. Yogurt itself, it's a very, we use it even, I mean, you could use yogurt as a moisturizer, but coconut oil, avocado, olive oil, yogurts, these are the things you really want to get into your body to help moisten and cool your system. And I think that brings the complexity out of it. Everybody's like, oh, well, you know, hot flashes, it's this thing that just happens and there's nothing you can, no, you your body is losing a little bit of its ability as well to moisten and cool. And so you want to do that. And then doing certain forms of exercise that help moisten and cool your body are going to be great. And really, it's going to be things that are more like yoga, Pilates, things where you're really bringing in a sense of peace and stillness into your body. There are herbs that are great at this. Black cohosh is probably the number one thing for that. Another big one, though, is Dong Quai. If somebody's going through menopause and they feel like their energy is getting off, like all of a sudden they're like, that's one of the bigger symptoms they've had. Dong Quai is a really big one. Because what Dong Quai is, you can start getting a blood deficiency. And if your blood isn't nourished, part of what your blood does is cool and nourish your system. And so Dong Quai is a big blood builder. But black cohosh would be number one by far. And then it's Dong Quai. Vitamin D is really big because of its ability to regulate hormones. There are so many things. I could start saying wild yam and this and a bunch of other stuff. But if you want to know the top three, black cohosh, Dong Quai, vitamin D. But really, it's food. It's food, also creating some peace. So remember, yang means you're doing stuff constantly. I mean, yang is CrossFit. It's you know, sprinting. It's going out there and being busy. It's also a point in time where getting by, growing spiritually. Really, it's also a mental preparation. Here's the other thing I think. And again, a lot of this is sounds very mindset oriented, but again, remember the mind-body connection. Menopause is a sign spiritually that you're now going from being the hero in life, doing everything to, no, now is the time in life where you have enough life wisdom where you need to really start mentoring others. So this is where a woman goes from being mentored herself. Maybe it's in a Bible study or it's a synagogue or it's in business or whatever it is, where you're the one who's been mentored. You're the one that's been trained. Well, now you're going through a stage in life where no, now you're not you're not just adding things. You're now multiplying. And so now, I mean, and women don't see it like that. Neither do men. It's like, okay, it's like, oh, I'm getting older. Oh, well, now things are going to start sagging. Oh, well, now I'm thinking about the men too. Oh, now my joints are going to hurt. Well, how about this? How about now you have so much life wisdom that now you get to be a multiplier. Now you're at the stage where you need to focus on discipling and apprenticing and mentoring and doing this thing that now you're going to have and go, like, have an even bigger impact on the world. And so when you're going through this stage, it's also a spiritual thing that happens to where it's a sign where you are now going to even more now, not to say you can't do it in your 30s and earlier on, but it's a sign where no, you need to be more proactive in mentoring other people. Mm-hmm. So those are some things to think about.
That was far more of a thorough response than what I could have expected from you. So Josh, thank you so much for just being so generous with your knowledge. Okay, so let's just give our listeners an opportunity to find out more about you, about the book. I know that it came out on the 2nd of April. Is that right? So that's Think right. This, Not That. And I guess they can get that anywhere where books are sold, Amazon, you know, all of those places. And does it come in audio version as well?
It does. It's in bookstores nationwide. It's on Amazon. The audiobook is great, by the way. We have a lot of bonus interviews only in the audiobook form. Now, again, hardback, if you're a reader and like a physical book, I kind of go 50-50 with that. I do a bunch of both. But and I've had some people say, I'm going to buy the hardback. And then when I feel like listening to the audiobook, I'm going to do that too. So whatever people want to do there. By the way, if people do buy the book, either audio or hardback, either one, if they then go to joshax.com, I created a bunch of bonuses to go with the book. So I have a video series, like a mindset masterclass. I have a workbook. We have bonus interviews, all of. So if somebody goes to joshax.com, if somebody buys it on Amazon, you get like the 6-digit code right after purchase. And if you then go to joshax.com and put that in that link on my website, then you'll get all these, you know, loads of, it's like $500 worth of free bonuses if they do that, I think, for the next month. So there's that. And then, so that's where, you know, but they can get the book anywhere.
I'm not surprised by that. You are so generous and you always give, you know, to your audience and to us tonight. So thank you so much for giving us your time, obviously around the other side of the world. But I think this is just timeless principles that everyone needs an opportunity to make time to sit in some stillness and some space to reflect and to dive into their own life and see how they can apply this, because yeah, we're not going to be given more time, are we? You know, I always try and remind everyone, it's not a race to the finish line. Like, you have to carve out space. You have to make time for this. And I think your book is a perfect reminder of exactly that.
Yeah, you know, and this is something I'm incredibly conscious of. And it's just that, yeah, it's a, you know, life is short. We want to maximize it. We want to do everything we can with the time we've been given. And that's a big, I mean, that's really what the book's about. How do you maximize your time here on earth, live your best life possible? And one other resource for people, you know, I know we covered quite a bit on this podcast, but if somebody's ever searching for a specific topic, maybe we didn't cover, I've got a podcast and I also just create a lot of videos on places like YouTube. And so you could always search Dr. Axe hypothyroid or Dr. Axe Lyme or Dr. Axe my thoughts on birth control or breast implants or all kinds of stuff I've been talking about lately. So people could check out the podcast. It's called the Dr. Josh Axe Show. And I cover a range of these topics and that people could learn more about there as well. But it was an honor being on. I love, these are always fun interviews. I'm really grateful for you both and the mission you're on and helping get, you know, the word of natural healing out there. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Dr. Axe, thanks so much for your time again. We'll pop all of those resources and all the other ways to find you, including the podcast as well, in the show notes. So that is just scroll down to find that information. So once again, you have tuned in to Wellness Women Radio. We are the Wellness Women, Dr. Ashley Bond and Dr. Andrea Huddleston, joined by Dr. Ash. Let me try that again, by Dr. Josh Axe. Tonight, we are raising the bar for women's health. And until next week, be well.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.